Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone is candidate for City Council, Adam Hellquist. How's it going today, Adam?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Now, forgive me for not keeping totally perfect. You're running for Ward 1, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes it's been a little tricky for me to keep up here. But let's start the interview with going into a little bit about your background, such as how long have you been in Bemidji?
I've lived in Bemidji my entire life, which is 40 years.
You didn't have to say that, but yeah, I get it.
Well, I think that's probably information that's already out there.
Right.
I am a BSU graduate. I work in the IT field. Over at Paul Bunyan Communications. I guess that's my background in a nutshell.
All right. And are there any other roles in the community you have served or other campaigns you've worked on? Or is this your first venture into politics?
This is my first venture, yes.
All right. So what particularly made you want to run for council this year?
Well, I've wanted to for quite some time, and it just seemed like a good opportunity with Mealhouse running for mayor, which left his spot open. So the opportunity there kind of presented itself for this upcoming year. Other than that, the main reason I'm running is just to try to be part of, you know, the leadership in a town that I've lived in forever. I've seen the changes in the past, and I know there's things coming up, and I want to be part of the decisions going into the future to make sure that all of the citizens have a voice in the council. And, everything we do, everything the council does affects the people that live here, and I'm one of the people that live here, so it's...
Some may argue the visitors for our regional center as well. So, and some may argue that, you know, the actions of the council also affect the visitors to our city.
Of course.
You know,
yeah,
regional
huge,
center and all that.
Yeah, it's a big balance. It's one of the things that is extremely important is the balance between making Bemidji a great place to visit, but also a great place to live. And that is, you're speaking specifically about the event center, is that?
Oh, that's coming up. I'll go into my specific city issues here now.
Okay.
City is non-taxable land and properties, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining half of city property owners and those taxpayers. What solutions do you think would solve this problem?
Well, I'm not really a rubber stamp taxes solve everything kind of person. I think it's up to the city council to look for creative ways to fund those portions that typically come from taxes. I mean, we tend to raise taxes a lot to fund things, but that doesn't mean that taxes aren't important. They are, but I feel like I think that creativity and figuring out ways to bring revenue in, including possibly annexing more areas around Lake Bemidji that could provide some extra revenue. Those are things I guess I would like to look at.
And speaking to the same property tax burden, do you support a hospitality or sales tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
That's a tough one. We already have some extra hospitality taxes, I believe. I don't outright support it, but like I was saying, it might be needed. I support checking into other ways first, and then if adding a hospitality tax ends up being the best way, I mean, that would be the way we'd have to do it. But unfortunately, the risk that gets run is that need that we have to bring people in, if we raise taxes on the things that people coming into the town use, you know, is that a deterrent from them coming to Bemidji to use our restaurants and our hotels and all that? So it's a tough one.
Yeah, there is a lodging tax that helps support the Visit Bemidji, and I think there is also another sales tax, but that's due to sunset. So this year they were looking at legislative extension of that sales tax and possibly an addition of it, but that was all scrapped. But I digress. My next question is related to the Business 197 corridor, the main drag there over where Bemidji Avenue kind of splits off and starts heading west. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024. And the plan for the famous multiple roundabouts was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety?
So I worked at the video store that's at that corner, and I saw the dangers. I actually was involved in an accident there because you're talking about the one at 197 and going west on Paul Bunyan, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly where the old Blockbuster was.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and so something needs to be done there. The way I feel about roundabouts is I was a little skeptical at first, but if you look at once people get past kind of the confusion of that newness that a roundabout causes, it actually ends up being quite more efficient in those areas, such as that corner you're talking about. The other corner that I think it would be beneficial is on Ann Street on Highway 71, kind of in the area. It's hard to describe. I think maybe you know what I'm talking about.
And I think there is discussion. I know that that's up on that intersection in particular is also up on the MnDOT docket. I don't have the year at the top of my head right now, but I think that roundabout is being considered there too.
That one tends to be pretty dangerous. But as far as the ones in front of the mall and down Paul Bunyan, I haven't been convinced that that's going to be the best way to do it yet. Even though, like I said earlier, I'm overall, I think, a fan of roundabouts. They seem to be a better way to use our intersections. I'm not convinced that the one over by Lukens, in front of Lukens and Century 21, I don't know about that one necessarily, or down further towards the mall. And I've looked at the plans, and I'm not quite convinced yet, but that doesn't mean with the proper data that I couldn't be convinced. So.
Right, and I know there's also discussion of a concrete median placed in to kind of eliminate a lot of the left turn that MnDOT cites as a contributing factor for all those crashes.
Yeah.
All right, so we will move on to water. The city's water system needs an expensive fix, and without those legislative bonding dollars or sales tax, that burden will likely fall to the utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project to remove PFAS related to firefighting foam used at the airport's well fields? And what are your thoughts on possible funding solutions?
Well, there are some solutions being talked about right now. One of them is litigation with 3M, and I don't know if that is going to work out properly, but it's our drinking water is hugely important. It goes back to the balance of making sure this is a good place to live as well as a good place to visit, and so that project is of huge importance, and at what I know of it now, it's going to be done in different phases, and the first phase is going to start pretty soon by the end of the summer, I believe, and is funded. And then they're going to work into So that's going to be a filtration system, and then they're going to work, which will help with the PFAS stuff. And then going from there, it'll be more long-term upgrades to actual treatment plant that we need to do.
Yeah. So that's like a giant Brita filter, as I've come to understand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of exactly the way I looked at it as well.
Yeah. So moving on to recent events in the city and state that have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government, what would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
Well, I think race relations starts at the community level, and I think one of the issues or one of the things being fleshed out from things that are going on right now is the fact that in lots of ways we've been kicking the can down the road on certain issues without ever actually changing them. And one of the things that's becoming apparent through the protests is kind of the way we look at the way our town is policed, and it might be that we need to kind of reassess who's going out to what calls. You know, do we need for mental health or domestic issues? Do we need somebody with a gun and a badge going out to do that? Or is there somebody who is trained more so in defusing those kinds of issues? And I think once there's more trust in the system that works with that, I think that race relations will follow. I think it's all based on trust, and I think reassessing some of those things would be the first step in healing the community, which is how I feel about it.
So my final question is on COVID-19. While many businesses are beginning to reopen to closer to normal capacity, what do you think a city council's role should be in public health emergencies, should this ever happen again? And a second part to that question is, the council took some actions on the COVID crisis. What did you like, and what would you have done differently?
I think regarding the COVID-19... leadership is a big, big part of it. And I think what the council can do is through just getting the information out there, and also showing that if you're going to be out in public, wearing a mask is still appropriate, just because we don't know what's going to happen. They're saying that August is possibly a second crest. So, I think that that's the best thing the city council can do, is just kind of lead by example and take it seriously, because, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, to come up with kind of a corny analogy. But as far as things that would be different, I don't feel like there were quite enough signs up in some of the parks, like Cameron Park. I do a lot of running through Cameron Park. And it kind of just, there were barricades, but it wasn't really stopping people from paying attention. And a lot of times there were quite a lot of gatherings going on that maybe could have waited a little bit, but that's one of the things that would have done different, I think.
Some bigger, bolder signage then?
Right, yeah.
Right. It's hard to stop a kid from running to what they want to do. I have many at home
right.
that pretty much run the house. But before I let you go, is there any other issue that we didn't quite touch on or anything else you'd like to mention before we wrap this up?
Well, the water plant, we talked about the event center briefly and didn't hit on it, but I don't think there's a whole lot to say there. We just need to make sure that that place is being run appropriately now that we've got ownership of it, you know. I don't think so.
All right, Adam. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. Adam Hellquist for Ward 1.